Southern Colorado never stops. Neither do we. This is NoCo Now, presented by the J9 Agencies. Here's Tanner Schwint.
Welcome in, hour number two. Thanks for being with us. It is NoCo Now, presented by the J9 Agencies. Excited to be with you. In case you missed it, too, I'm sure you caught the interview with Mayor John Gates this morning on Mornings with Gale. But Mayor Gates will be re-running. He'll be running again as mayor for re-election coming up for 2021. This will be his third term as mayor if re-elected. John Gates, of course, a great friend of the program. Just wanted to throw that little bit of information out there as always. So we're going to get into the sports world here in just a second. Just a quick overview of what happened last night in the sports scene and what to look forward to tonight as well. But a reminder that coming up in just a matter of moments, we'll have Adam Jokers, the Deputy Director of Water Resources, and Sean Chambers, the Director of Greeley Water and Sewer, will be joining us to discuss the Terry Ranch Aquifer Project that will be taking place, or at least that the Greeley City Council will be voting on here in a matter of, I believe it's at the end of this month, but we'll talk about that. That's our poll question. Do you support it? If you don't know a whole lot about it, you want to ask questions to these guys, text them in. Text the KFK text line at 970-478-1301, 970-478-1301, and you'll be subscribed, ready to go. Text that in, and we'll get those questions out there. All right, let's take a look around. It was not much going on in the sports world, but let's get into it. Last night, the Denver Nuggets, man, did they need this. After losing four of their last five, Denver erupted, and they took out, I think, all of their frustration on a bad Cleveland Cavaliers team. Like, don't get me wrong, the Cavs are bad, but anytime you can beat a team 133-95, excuse me, you're doing something right. And they were doing it right from the beginning. Denver just jumped out to a huge lead. And the thing that was nice, for the first time in a long time, Nikola Jokic wasn't your leading scorer. Paul Millsap throwing 22 points up on the board. And there was just some explosive plays by the Denver Nuggets. It was a great team win. When you run down this, Paul Millsap, 22 points. Will Barton, 16. Michael Porter Jr., 19. Nikola Jokic, 12. Jamal Murray, 8. Of course, you're going to see that. Jermichael Green, 8. Zeke Nagy, the first-round pick, I'm told, from the Denver Nuggets, putting up 14 points as well. Monte Morris, 12 points. R.J. Hampton, 9 points. Everybody who was active got in and scored last night. You had, let's see here, 2, 4, 6, 8. You had 13 players score for the Denver Nuggets last night. And they didn't lose a single quarter against the Cleveland Cavaliers. It was 34-17 after the first quarter, and they never let up. They never let up. The Denver Nuggets just rolled last night. And like I said, you wonder if there was a lot of built-up frustration after a bad loss to the Milwaukee Bucks. You wondered what was going to happen. Well, they came back and took care of business, and now they've got the Oklahoma City Thunder coming up tomorrow night at 7 o'clock. Oklahoma City, another bad team, 10-14, and you have to just keep rolling right now. And it'd be nice to see this in dominant fashion. If they can keep this up and keep blowing teams out, that's going to help a lot of people feel better about what the state of the Denver Nuggets, because there are people who are worried. They're still sitting seventh right now in the Western Conference Finals, but they're only half a game back from the five spot, so it's kind of crowded there. But those top tier teams are starting to pull away, and Denver's expected to be that, and they need to get back to that. And if they don't, I think that it's going to be a very disappointing season. But right now, you got to feel good about what the Denver Nuggets did last night to the lowly Cleveland Cavaliers. But you can only play who's on your schedule, and they got the Oklahoma City Thunder coming up tomorrow night as well at 7 o'clock. Okay, let's get into the college ranks, shall we? Colorado, the Buffaloes, taking on Stanford this afternoon, 5 o'clock. That'll actually air on ESPN2. CU, they had a couple of things that I was a little worried about. That loss to Washington a couple of weeks ago scared me. They blew a big lead in that game. Then that loss to Utah worried me a little bit. They had to come all the way back against Washington State to win. There was just this little trend, and with what their history was from last year, what happened last year, it made me a little nervous about what was going on, but they've responded very well, beating Arizona and beating Oregon State. Stanford coming into this game, sitting at 12-7 so far, 8-5 in conference play. The Pac-12's kind of a logjam at the top. Colorado's a game back from UCLA and USC, but Stanford's really only two games back from the top as well. So this is huge. CU's got to come into this game, and they've got to win. You know what I'm going to call? This might be the first time I've called. This is a must-win game for Colorado. You know, obviously, when you look at it, if they have to go and play, they've got to play the tournament to get in. But this is it's a dead-even game. Right now, if you're looking at odds, CU's favored by just a point. They are favored in this matchup. Again, 5 o'clock, Colorado Buffaloes taking on the Stanford Cardinals. You like to see McKinley Wright get going. He's fallen into a little bit of a mini slump, we'll call it. You'd like to see him get rolling and get things back on track here shortly. The last story that I wanted to talk about, like I mentioned, there's not a whole lot going on in the Colorado sports world with the Nuggets off tonight, and Colorado State doesn't have an opponent until the 20th, and UNC shut down due to COVID protocols. Well, yesterday, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, they had their parade, their Super Bowl parade, and it was like none other. They held it on the waters in boats in Florida. It was the best thing that I have ever seen. Tom Brady was drunk out of his mind. All of a sudden, people are like, Tom Brady, maybe he's all right. Maybe he's a little cool. There's a video of him attempting to walk, and one of his buddies is having to hold him up. I mean, he's holding him up. He's not stumbling or anything, but it's like that bro hug that you do when you walk out of a bar when one of your bros has had too much. You're like holding him, guiding him in the right direction. He followed that up. I retweeted that and followed it up with nothing to see her. .. Just little avocado tequila. Was he messing with us? Was he actually that drunk? Look, there's a lot of videos of that party that they had. Tom Brady ended up at one point throwing the Lombardi Trophy, from boat to boat. He passed it to Rob Gronkowski. Of course, Gronk made the catch. Like, only Tom Brady can. If you've got seven of them, I guess you can do dumb stuff with them. But people work their entire lives to get a shot at one of those, and he's throwing them from his boat to another boat. Like, what if that goes in the water? Like, what happens? It was fun to watch. It was fun to see them get to celebrate. You can see just how good of a life Tom Brady is leading right now. That'll do it for the sports world. That dude is remarkable. What he's done and what he's continuing to put together, it's crazy to watch him continue to dominate the NFL. Poll question up on our Facebook page, at NoCo Now. Do you support the Terry Ranch Aquifer Project? That's what we want to know. And if you have questions about it, we're about to get into a lot of information. A lot of information that we're going to be working through here with Adam Jokers and Sean Chambers coming up in just a couple of moments. Before, I want to say thanks to one of our sponsors here, the Tavern at St. Michael's Square. I told you guys I had a lunch meeting there on Tuesday. Had a lunch meeting there yesterday. Guess where I'm going to lunch again? It's the Tavern at St. Michael's Square. Third lunch meeting this week. All of them have been at the Tavern. Yesterday, the bourbon barbecue burger. That's what I went with. I had the cauliflower po' boy on Tuesday. I know it's out of the. I know Ryan just made a face at me. I know it's not what I normally order there. Had the bourbon barbecue burger yesterday. know what I'm feeling today. It's a little cold. Let's see what we've got. But it's the Tavern at St. Michael's Square. Only at the Tavern can you go there three times in a week, back to back to back, and know for sure, for certain, that you're going to have something on that menu that you're going to enjoy. It's the Tavern at St. Michael's Square. Tell them you heard about them right here on KFKA. NOCO Now, presented by the J9 Agencies. Let's take a break. When we come back on the other side, Adam Jokers, the Deputy Director of Water Resources, and Sean Chambers, Director of Greeley Water and Sewer. They'll be joining us when we come back on the other side. It's NOCO Now, presented by the J9 Agencies on Northern Colorado's Voice, 1310 KFK.
Northern Colorado's Voice is 1310 KFKA. Tanner will be back after the break. Hear Mornings with Gail, weekdays 6 to 9 on Northern Colorado's Voice, 1310 KFKA.
Twenty the time. Welcome back in to the Auto Collision Specialist Studios. I am Tanner Schwint. This is NOCO Now, presented by the J9 Agencies. Thanks for being with us, as always, and joined by a couple of fellas. You got here just in the nick of time. We're excited to have you. Adam Jokers, the Deputy Director of Water Resources, and Sean Chambers, Director of Greeley Water and Sewer. Thank you guys for being here. We appreciate it.
We're happy to be here.
Well, we've got you guys got a big project that you've got possibly going on. It's not finalized yet, right? The Greeley City Council's still deliberating on this. Is that right?
So not yet deliberating.
Okay, they're not. So where's this at
we
currently?
We are finalizing our due diligence, and we're bringing our recommendations to the city's Water and Sewer Board.
Okay.
That's happening on the 17th of February.
Okay.
And thereafter, we'll be going to council on March 2nd to share all of our findings and seek their action to support and approve.
Awesome. So this project, let's talk about it, this Terry Ranch Aquifer Project. How did this even start? How did this come about? If either you want to take this, Adam, how did this come about?
So Greeley has been looking for water supply and water storage for years, and we've evaluated alternatives all along the way, and this came onto our radar in early 2019.
Okay.
As a potential alternative to what Greeley had been doing for a long time, which is seeking to enlarge an existing reservoir, the Milton Seaman Reservoir.
Right.
And as we looked into this, it turned out we felt that this was a cheaper option, an option that we could actually build, and
those two things are important when it comes to these projects.
They are. You know, building new water storage on the Front Range is very difficult, and so we felt it important to look at all options.
Well, liquid gold, I mean, it really is. Up here in Northern Colorado, you need as much of that stuff as you can get, and Greeley is growing like crazy, and all the water that we're using and going to continue to need, this offers a viable solution to continue to support that and keep our water rates, you know, reasonable, right?
Yeah, one of the great things about the project fundamentally is that it's feasible, right? It can be built in phases as demand merits. So we know that Greeley's going to grow to more than 260,000 people in the next 50-year planning horizon, right? We're going to grow west towards I-25. We're going to grow north across the Poudre River. And we need to have a water supply on standby ready to serve those folks. But a big dam project would incur a major cost to us and our citizens now. We'd have to build a big bond issue. We'd have to go out and secure a lot of revenue to build a big project all at once. And that would reflect in much higher rates for the customer base. Doing this type of project that's feasible, that's incrementally developed to meet demands as they grow, gives us the ability to raise rates slowly over time as we're growing with bigger projects and more citizens.
Well, and after what we just saw with 2020, I mean, there's not an industry or a city or anything that hasn't been hit by some sort of financial burden after COVID. And what I understand, too, is that the payment process on this, the owning company of Terry Ranch is going to help along with that process as well. Is that correct?
That's right. As part of the purchase agreement, the seller, Wingfoot Water Resources, is providing to the city $125 million.
Right.
So at closing, we'll receive all the assets, the water and the storage. But in addition, we're going to get $125 million to help us start that construction. It's a unique purchase in that we're not paying cash. We're issuing credits that developers can use to turn into the city to get a new water tap.
So is that different than what most of these projects go? Is that unique to this project, or does that normally take place?
No, this is a unique transaction, and it was structured in a way to really reduce our risk. We're pushing the risk of development occurring and that revenue coming in onto the seller.
Yeah, and anytime you can take that risk and put it on somebody else, I mean, that's a win. That's a win, and that's something, right? I mean, in any business transaction that happens. Again, we're talking with Adam Jokers, Deputy Director of Water Resources, and Sean Chambers, Director of Greeley Water and Sewer. So this is a unique deal in a lot of ways, right? We haven't seen an underground aquifer project in Greeley ever, right? And so why should people take comfort knowing that you know, the water quality is still going to be to the high standards that Greeley citizens expect?
Yeah, great question. You know, we're very committed to make sure that we deliver safe, reliable, high-quality water to our citizens day in and day out, 365 days a year, regardless of the source of supply. Terry Ranch offers us a unique opportunity to store water underground where evaporation is no longer an issue, where the construction of a dam no longer has these big environmental impacts. And underground storage is routinely done up and down the Front Range and across the West. This particular aquifer, this confined sandstone aquifer, is a lot like the Denver Basin formation that spans really from South Greeley all the way to nearly Pueblo. That similar aquifer has more than 1 million people relying on its water supply and doing aquifer storage and recovery. So excess surface supply in wet years gets deposited into that sandstone aquifer, just like we plan to do at Terry Ranch, and it gets withdrawn. And huge communities in South Metro Denver, the suburb of Centennial, northern El Paso County, Monument, all of these areas are relying on the same type of technology and the same type of aquifer storage and then water recovery that the city of Greeley is planning in this project.
How much do you plan on drawing on the knowledge of those who have done this before, right? Because they've, you know, like you said, it's popular. I mean, it's been done. Do you plan on drawing on their knowledge as well?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, we're not reinventing the wheel here.
Right.
There are a tremendous number of highly qualified hydrogeologists across the state of Colorado who've done this kind of work before. Some of those folks were involved in the development of the initial set of wells up at the ranch. Others work for us now in our due diligence process and investigative process. LRE Water has been an important part of our evaluation team, and they bring some really important experts to bear on our analysis. And then as we go forward, we've got some recommendations on the things we need to do to fully develop the assets and to make sure that we're following best practices.
Right.
And that we're going to maximize the quality of the water when we bring it out of the aquifer at a future date.
So 1.2 million acre feet, right? Is it going to be in this aquifer? The environmental impact that it's going to have up on the ranch, what does that look like in terms of what it's going to take to get this project done?
Sure. This is a large construction project, no doubt, but it's mainly underground. We're talking pipelines as the biggest aspect of this.
Right.
At the wells, there's going to be small buildings, and there'll be a small treatment plant. But the environmental impacts are much less than any other option that we've looked at.
Well, and I think it's important to note, too, this isn't going to completely replace what Greeley's doing with their water now. This is just an addition to it, correct?
That's correct.
And so when you look at this, you both feel, obviously, that this is the most viable solution to continue with the growth of Greeley. And this would this allow for the other water that comes into Greeley and northern Colorado? You know, the agricultural industry, we've been in a drought, right? And we expect that to continue. This other water, can it be allocated as well to help, you know, some of those farmers out there in northern Colorado as well?
Well, what this will do is reduce the amount of water that we need to acquire from agriculture. This water does not, it's a new water source. It doesn't take water away from agriculture or anybody else. So in that way, we're going to have less impacts to agriculture. I think it's important to note that Terry Ranch will be our drought supply. This isn't going to replace our surface water that we use day in and day out. This is our supply of last resort.
Right. How much water is that? I mean, it's easy to say 1.2 million acre feet. A lot of people don't understand what an acre foot of water is, too. So let's start there. Explain to the listeners what an acre foot of water is and how much water will this really carry through for Greeley in the future?
Sure. So an acre foot, just picture a foot of water on a football field. That's an acre foot. And an acre
foot. I love that analogy. I love that analogy. Look, I'm a Platte Valley kid, grew up on a farm, everything like that. An acre foot of water was one of the hardest things for me to grasp because it's such a weird term, and that's one of the best ways that I've seen it or heard it put. So well done on that.
Well, thank you. Two to three Greeley households will use an acre foot in a year. And for context, Greeley uses about 25,000 acre feet a year. And so 1.2 million acre feet is a lot of water.
It is a lot of water. And again, there's been a lot of misinformation out there. Again, as we continue our conversation with Adam Jokers, Deputy Director of Water Resources, and Sean Chambers, Director of Greeley Water and Sewer. There's been a lot of misinformation out there. There's obviously with stuff like this, people are going to have questions. What has been the main concern raised to you guys about this project?
Yeah, the public has engaged us on a couple of different items. Water quality has been one of the aspects people are most interested in.
Yeah.
And understandably, right? This is a different source of supply. It's not as well understood as surface water. And then the analysis from early investigation showed that there are low levels of naturally occurring uranium in the water. Significant enough levels, though, that we would need to remove it. So a key piece of our investigation to date has been on treatment. Wanting to know and understand and have a high degree of confidence in our ability to cost effectively treat and remove uranium and any other constituent. This water is unique in that outside of the uranium, it is very very old deposit of water, and it is a very, very high quality in a general sense. So you can drink it straight out of the ground, unlike water straight out of the river that you would be ill-advised to drink, right? It doesn't come with the naturally occurring organics that river water comes with. It is really a high-quality source, and the uranium can be removed very effectively, both in a technical sense of how well you can remove it, but also in a cost-effective sense.
Well, and with this being a drought supply source, right, you're not going to have to – Greeley's not going to have to pull on it right off the bat. So that also buys time to make sure – and it's done the right way, correct, with the removal of the uranium.
Right. There are a number of technologies out there that will remove uranium, some more expensive than others. But we've done a tremendous amount of analysis on that, and we've run a pilot project up at the ranch. So we ran water from the highest concentration test well through a treatment technology called ion exchange, a media that essentially removes the uranium.
Right.
And it goes through filters in series, one after another. And we proved that we can remove uranium to below our ability to detect it. So we follow the EPA method.
That's pretty damn low.
That's right. So we ran that pilot project for 30 days, proved that we could consistently day in and day out remove all uranium to below detectable limits. And so we're very satisfied with our ability to produce safe, high-quality, potable water for the citizens of Greeley and to do it cost-effectively.
10:32 now the time. Fellas, I need to take a break. Would you stick around? Would you mind sticking around for one more segment? Does that work?
Absolutely.
Let's do it. A lot of information to get out there talking about this Terry Ranch aquifer. We'll be back on this other side of Sunoco Now, presented by the J9 agencies. Let's get to the bottom of the hour news and weather center.
What's happening in your own backyard? Listen to NoCo Now with Tanner Schwint on Northern Colorado's Voice, 1310 KFKA.
The time now. Thanks for being with us on this this cold Thursday morning. 7 degrees, I think it's the high on Saturday, 3 on Sunday. It's time for a vacation, I think, is what I think. I am Tanner Schwint. This is NoCo Now, presented by the J9 agencies, joined by Adam Jokerst and Sean Chambers. We're talking about the Terry Ranch Aquifer Project going on. And guys, there's a lot of questions out there from people. One of the things that we were discussing is, you mentioned it a little bit, Adam, this business deal is an interesting one, and it's drawn skepticism of, wait a second. What the hell's going on here? Walk us through a little bit more about – put the people's minds at ease with what this contract is all about.
Sure. It is a unique contract. Instead of paying cash for this water, we're issuing credits to the seller. And these credits are redeemable by developers to meet a raw water dedication and get a water tap. It is a different way of doing it, but – in no way are we entering into some kind of long-term business arrangement with them. At closing, we get the water, and they get these credits. You know, there's a some concern that we're going to be in some kind of long-term partnership, that this is maybe a public-private partnership. It's not. It's just a different way of paying for the water.
Yeah, and it's innovative, right? And it's new, and new in innovation. It can be scary, right? And I think that's where, you know, some of the skepticism can be met. But you guys have done a phenomenal job with pushing information out there. How'd the webinar go? You guys had the webinar last night, correct? How did that go?
Yeah, Tanner, the webinar went well. We engaged more than 60 people. They asked a lot of questions. We gave an overview of the due diligence and update on some of the things we've been researching relative to cost and water quality and treatment capacity and long-range planning around the project. And then we took Q&A for more than an hour, and I think we relatively effectively resolved some technical questions, some business questions, and we made sure that we provided people the opportunity to engage with us further following the webinar. So they can email us, they can call us, and we'll follow up with them.
No, and that transparency, I mean, that'll dispel a lot of this. But one of the other things that I find reassuring, and I think that other people should as well, the community support. I mean, the chamber's throwing their support behind this. There's a lot of people in the community that say this needs to happen.
That's right. We've collected a number of influential supporters, and some of them from a very technical basis. Some are geologists and hydrogeologists, and then others are business groups, right? They understand the impact of this to affordable housing and to the long-range economy for Greeley. We recently secured support from the Poudre Learning Center and the NOCO HBA, both important groups that have very different perspectives, roles, responsibilities, and outlooks about the future of the city, but both influential groups that are important to support the project.
Right, and when you can get people who don't necessarily agree on a ton, can agree on something, that's always a good thing to do. So we talked about it. It's new. It's innovative. How did you guys get to it? How did Greeley get to this and say, "This is we're taking this. We're doing this." How did that happen?
Right. So we were in the permitting process for Milton Seaman Reservoir Enlargement for 15 years. And as we pursued that, it appeared that maybe getting that permit was going to be unlikely. And so we really dived into looking for other alternatives. And by happenstance, it was the same period of time when the seller of this project was conducting extensive diligence of their own to prove that this was a safe and reliable water supply. And so we started engaging with them even before they had dug the last of their test wells. So it was a bit serendipitous in the time.
Love it when a plan comes together
right? And Greeley is really in a unique position to make use of this water. We have infrastructure that spans all the way from west of Fort Collins to East Greeley. And we're able to use that infrastructure to get the water from the ranch and to the ranch. And that makes us very unique in the Northern Front Range.
Well, and it seems like with whatever water project comes up, there's always people who have concerns about it. You know, my mind goes over to the NISP project that Fort Collins is working through and Larimer County is working through. And you know, that is a haul. I mean, you talked about 15 years on the Milton Seaman. I think they've been going for 20-odd some years of that, too. So these things take time. It's not like somebody just woke up one morning and said, you know what sounds like a good idea today? Let's buy a bunch of water. Because, I mean, that's a good idea any day, but these things take time.
Right. We make investments year in and year out in water supply, making sure we're being planful for our future. But for these big storage projects, right, the NEPA process, the investment in time is substantial. We continue to work on the Windy Gap firming project, which is more than 20 years old and has had federal permits since 2017 and is not yet out of the ground due to delays in construction and federal litigation over the permitting. So we know that it's an arduous and difficult path to get one of these storage projects done. And Terry Ranch offers us a pretty unique opportunity to do that without some federal permitting. But we're trying to plan for 50 years in advance, and we've got to start 20 to 30 years in advance to get there because of how long these projects can take.
Right. And that's something that Greeley has been pretty good about, is planning for the future with the water. And it is vital, especially with this expected boom, to continue to do that.
Yeah. You know, one of the other aspects to why this deal works for Greeley is its forefathers have made consistent investments in water supply, going back to moving water supply up to Bellevue, west of Fort Collins, acquiring Collar to Big Thompson, buying into the Boyd Lake and Lake Loveland system in the 1960s, many of these historic investments built a supply, a really robust portfolio of surface water. That means we can do a deal like Terry Ranch that's not going to yield water tomorrow, and we have time to develop it.
Yeah.
In our many of our neighboring communities, the water they buy tomorrow, it needs to go in the pipe the day after, right?
Yeah. You don't want to put yourself up against the gun like that.
Right. So our robust portfolio and excess supply allows us to develop this project over time, being very careful and incremental about how we make investment.
Yeah, well, Adam, I want you to kind of expand a little bit about the water portfolio that Greeley has now. It is pretty diverse.
It really is. It's really the envy of the Northern Front Range. Greeley has enough water in its portfolio that on a wet year, we rented last year 20,000 acre feet back to the agricultural community. We plan for the dry years, though. We plan for the drought. Right now, we have adequate surface supplies to meet a design drought, and we'll have that water out to 2040. We have water that comes from the Pooter, the Big Thompson, the Colorado River, and the Laramie River. We treat that at two water treatment plants, and we get it to our customers through over 600 miles of pipe.
It just blows my mind how much goes into this. You talked about the spot up above around Bellevue. The wildfires obviously was a big concern. Did that have an impact? And what process is being taken with that?
It will have an impact. I mentioned the watersheds that we collect water from. All four of them burned this past year.
Wow.
The two largest fires in Colorado history burned our watersheds. We haven't seen impacts yet, but we will. After a rain on the watershed, a lot of sediment, nutrients come down into the river. And we'll absolutely be able to treat that, but it increases our treatment costs and it puts our infrastructure at risk. Some of our reservoirs may fill in with sediment, be very costly to dredge that sediment out. And that's one of the reasons we like Terry Ranch, is that it's immune from droughts,
right,
and wildfires and such. That water is not going anywhere in a drought.
So this project, again, we're talking with Adam Jokers, the Deputy Director of Water Resources, and Sean Chambers, Director of Greeley Water and Sewer. Was there a moment throughout this process as this is building up that you guys thought, maybe that's too big of a deal? What were your guys' first concerns and how did they get answered as you went across it?
You know, I'll say initially it was concerning or interesting that this project was different than other projects we'd done, right? While this isn't new and innovative in the Front Range, it's new and innovative in northern Colorado, and this asset was relatively undiscovered or unknown, at least in its capacity to really serve and be reliable to a municipal community. So for me, an aha moment was seeing the decree, seeing the well field results, seeing the test hole results, and better understanding that this was a real deal.
Yeah. And how about you, Adam? Was there a moment that you're like, okay, this is interesting here?
Right. We knew that there were low levels of naturally occurring uranium in this before we went under contract. Water quality is our foremost concern. And so we knew we needed to do extensive investigation to make sure that there weren't higher levels than initially thought and that we could treat this water. And so we've spent the last 7-8 months and millions of dollars to prove that out. And at this point, we're comfortable. We're certain that we're going to be able to remove uranium to below detectable amounts.
I think it can be concerning for people as well when you start throwing around millions of dollars talking about it because they think, well, it's water. But if this community, I would have to imagine, at least understands a little bit better about the cost of water and why, you know, we're talking a lot of money. But that Mayor Gates came on and called it liquid gold. It really is.
Well, you know, the reason it's liquid gold, right, is it's a fundamental resource we need for day-to-day sustainability and for the growth of our local economy. And folks in Greeley have a much greater sense. Our agricultural roots here in our newspaper give us a real nexus with the water subject, right? The reality of water in Greeley, though, is that we deliver for a half a cent a gallon safe, high-quality potable water to the front door of every customer day in and day out, 365 days a year. And our commitment to do that and to be accountable to affordability is ongoing regardless of Terry Ranch. That is our duty to our citizen group, and we do a good job of delivering it at affordable prices.
No doubt about it. And it just becomes a part of everybody's day. You know, you don't think – you go and take a shower. You don't think about where that water is coming from. And I think that's when water is put into the spotlight, that it can really raise some eyebrows and get people thinking about it. And, of course, this project has done that. So let's play the what-if game. Let's say this does go through. The next steps, you talked about, it gets approved. The purchase is done. Deal's done. What's the timeline? What happens next? Is construction start immediately, or where does it go from there?
Sure. The primary piece of the infrastructure we need to build is a 30-mile pipeline from the ranch south and connect just north of Windsor to an existing pipe. We want to start construction on that right away. And part of the reason we can is that we're getting money from the seller at closing. We're getting $125 million. So we'll be able to start constructing that immediately. And our plan is to start constructing the southern 6 miles of that pipeline just north of Windsor over the next few years, starting maybe even next year. We'll build that pipeline out slowly then, maybe over the next 10, 15 years.
So again, another long haul, but the first steps are underway. If people have more information about this or more questions, what's the best way for them to go about it?
Yeah, you know, I would suggest people visit our website first and foremost. There's both print information. There's a couple of videos we've produced. We've tried to make the information accessible for the really technical-minded folks. There's tremendous amounts of water quality testing results. There's hydrogeologic layers.
People are going to get – my eyes are like, what are you talking about? I'm on here right now, actually, and there's – you guys have done a good job of – even for the common folk to be able to sit here and for people like me to sit here and read this.
Transparency is important, and we recognize that people approach this from a different perspective or background, and we want to provide the gamut of information that people need to know about. So the purchase and sale agreement is on there, and so is all the technical information on water quality,
right,
and on the hydrogeologic layers and our pilot test. So we are eager to share that kind of information. You can also get on there and you can email Adam directly. Our phone numbers and contact information are there, and we're happy to spend some personal time with any customer who wants to know more.
That link is also up on our Facebook page at NOCO Now. So if you want to just go straight from there, that'll save you some time. Gentlemen, thank you so much. I appreciate you guys coming on and talking about this. Is there any final things that we need to get out there? Anything else that needs to be said?
I just want to call out that website again. It's greeleygov.com/Terry Ranch. We're also on Facebook, Nextdoor, lots of social media.
Right. Well, and if you missed any part of this conversation, our podcast going up right after is as well. 10:51, Adam, Sean, thank you guys so much. I appreciate it. And I'm sure we'll be talking again soon.
Thank you.
Thanks. It's NOCO Now, presented by the J9 Agencies. Let's take a break. We'll come back and wrap this bad boy up right here on Northern Colorado's Voice, 1310 KFK.
The Power Trip, weekdays at 11 on 1310 KFKA.
Welcome back in NOCO Now, presented by the J9 Agencies. Man, that was a fast second hour. Thanks again to Adam Jokers for joining us, as well as Sean Chambers. A lot of information, and I know that it's tough to sink in, right, as they're going through it, because there is so much information. Go and check out those websites that they talked about, the links up on our Facebook page. Go back and re-listen to the interview as well. These guys know what they're talking about, and I've been an advocate for this throughout all of this, of the Terry Ranch aquifer. Water, you get it any way that you can, and the science proves that it's a safe way to do it. Totally behind this. So we'll see what the next steps are and how this goes. But definitely appreciate those two gentlemen joining us today. Thanks to Miles Blumhardt as well. Before we wrap this bad boy up, let's get to the headline that caught my eye. So I'm sure by now you've heard of the Gorilla Glue Girl. Tessica Brown, she ran out of hairspray about a month ago, and she wanted to go out, and, well, hell, you couldn't go out without the rest of your hair being the way that you wanted to. So what was her decision? Well, to take the Gorilla Glue adhesive and put it in her hair, and it got bad. Things really got bad. So she goes out, she puts this Gorilla Glue on her hair. It wouldn't come off for a month. There was a couple of days that she showered and showered and showered and showered, and it still would not come out. And according to Ryan, who has followed this story very closely, when you add water to this adhesive, it only gets worse. So for a month, she took this online and said, "Help. I can't get this out. My hair is stuck down. It's into my scalp at this point. What can you do?" And that's when it started to go viral. Just yesterday, after a month of this, they finally removed the Gorilla Glue. It took a 4-hour surgery to remove it. 4 hours to get out of this sticky situation. You get it? And it's just crazy. So, hey, here's the thing. Don't put dumb stuff in your hair. That's the headline for today. By the way, the surgery was supposed to cost $12,500. The doctor comped it. Did it for free. Well, pretty good publicity. Yeah, they had to do the science to break it all down. It was in her scalp. It was a mess. That's the headline that caught my eye. Don't put stuff that's in your hair that's not supposed to go there, especially Gorilla Glue. Makes me want to buy Gorilla Glue for any projects I've got coming up, though. I'll tell you that. For Ryan Kelly, I'm Tanner Schwint. We'll be back at it tomorrow. Follow along on Facebook. I'll post this story, the headline that caught my eye, and the podcast will be up there as well. Thanks to Miles Blumhardt, Adam Jokerst, and Sean Chambers for joining us today. We'll be back at it tomorrow. We've got the Power Trip coming up next. The whole show a little bit later on. It's been NoCo Now, presented by the J9 Agencies on Northern Colorado's Voice, 1310 KFKA.